Well, and it's difficult too because you're going to find great schools that were probably even A schools, at least B schools, and now be D schools, and it's so confusing to the public. And if you really want to complicate things, add No Child Left Behind on top of that, and their rigorous testing too. So I think it's going to be difficult. And the problem is when you grade a whole school, based on what they call annual yearly progress, it's very, very difficult. And but what does it do in the end? The fact is, the legislature again has failed to put the education funding in K through 12 that they cut out last year by $520 per student, and they've failed to fund public education. So at the same time, they're failing to fund public education, where they're saying, that these are our future, this is the most important thing. They're not funding education, but by the same token, or imposing more rigorous standards.
Yeah, and the other thing that bothers me, we're talking about all these grades and that, and we still have something like 63, only 63.7% of the kids who finish high school.
Yeah,
I mean, we got a real problem out here, and changing the letter grade from one thing to the other with all the focus and time on it isn't going to make a difference. I wish we'd take the same energy and that and drive it into figuring out how to keep kids in school, because once they drop out, they're an economic abyss. I mean, they're never going to have, not never, but it's very tough for them ever to make it out of that hole.
Is it also interesting that that's kind of an externality? Parents and teachers and lawmakers are looking at those school grades, but students in the schools, I can't imagine, are thinking about that very much. And how does that affect them,
well,
with all this tempest going on outside?
On the contrary, FCAT is very, very much at a preoccupation among the students.
The FCAT is, but are they thinking about the grade of their school overall?
Not until they get a bad grade, and then it kind of stereotypes them. So you go to a D school, you no longer go to a B school. But I want to go back to education for a moment, because the legislature is not funding community colleges either. This is a great opportunity for people to go back and retrain, particularly if they're unemployed now and they need new skills to get back into the labor force.
And couldn't we also be seeing tuition rates go up at community colleges?
And again, to be fair, Florida has some of the lowest tuition in the country, but by the same token, the way they're rapidly escalating up from 15 to 30% a year and 45% over 2 years is going to price some people out of the market. And then you've got prepaid tuition, which is taking a lot more than anticipated in the bright future. So the fact is, higher education in K through 12 and community college are not being adequately funded because of the budget constraints, but we keep imposing additional requirements on the system without additional revenues.
Money's supposed to be going into education, but we're also seeing cuts being made into medical facilities, hospitals, state children's hospitals facing cuts of tens of millions of dollars. And I wonder, have you guys given any thought, or do you hear, how would this affect Nemours that's being built right out at our own Lake Nona? Is that going to affect that hospital?
If I might interject real quickly, Lou, and then defer to you, that Nemours, no, because it's foundation funded. It's a not-for-profit hospital funded by a private Nemours foundation. But it will affect the other two hospitals because they're capping Medicaid. They're reducing Medicaid reimbursement rates to hospitals by 7%. And now the real debate is whether or not they're going to accept the federal dollars under the Affordable Health Care Act to basically reimburse general practitioners. So there really is a debate going on as to where the money is going to come from. But right now, they will cut Medicaid reimbursement to hospitals and some physicians, but Nemours would not be affected.
I wonder if you guys have been following this fight over the Orange County Expressway Authority. There's moves afoot in Tallahassee right now by local Representative Mike Horner, and also we hear Dean Cannon weighing in to try to isolate Teresa Jacobs, if not remove her outright from the board of the Orange County Expressway Authority. I wonder, what is your take on those maneuverings? Because Jacobs is known for trying to bring more transparency and kind of clean up that agency.
I agree with Teresa. I think it was intentional. I think because she tried to clean up the agency, because she, pushed back people like Jim Palmer, who's could make, with the expressway goes by his property, the Beltway, He's a developer. He could do $1 billion plus a project. The speaker designate, Chris Dorworth, is on his payroll, and he was also supported the new executive director of the Expressway Authority. I think it's all politics. I mean, why? It begs the question. Teresa Jacobs is known for a lot of things, one of which, transparency, ethics in government, and no conflicts of interest. So to me, it's very, very fishy.